This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. Non-stop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
Is there a crisis in Joe Biden's mind as he responds to reporters asking about a crisis at the border? Don't bring up a dementia thing. What am I talking about? Oh, that's what was told to Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Don't open the dementia door. I will explain. Good morning. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. Great to have you with us today. 855-839-1210 is our number. On Twitter, at Rich Cioli, if you want to weigh in on Twitter. Great, some great tweets. I'll read some in a little bit. And Facebook.com/Cioli Show. So, you know, yesterday Biden had this moment at the White House where he got snarky. You know, snarky Biden was asked about the border. There was a reporter asking him this, and he was very nasty to the reporter as he's walking out of the room and leaves. Cut four, Bill.
Did you receive a briefing about the border today?
Yes, I did.
What did you learn?
A lot.
Is there a
Jonathan Allen wrote a piece in Vanity Fair, which is really interesting, right? So Jonathan Allen is not a conservative in any way, shape, or form. We're not opening the dementia thing. Inside Team Biden's freak out over Julia Louis-Dreyfus's Trump jokes. So the Democratic National Convention, if you remember over the summer, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Elaine from Seinfeld, a Veep, was the act. She was going to be the big star. About an hour before she was set to go live from the L.A. studio Thursday night, Stephanie Cutter, one of Biden's people, sent word to David Mandel, the Veep showrunner and veteran of Seinfeld, Curb Your Enthusiasm, and Saturday Night Live, said she wanted to talk about the script. So Mandel, sitting in a dining room converted into a home office, surrounded by memorabilia from the Harvard Lampoon, and Veep, cue cards from an appearance on Late Night with Seth Meyers, called up Stephanie Cutter, the convention's chief program executive, from a landline. Already there had been some tension between Cutter's team and Julia Louis-Dreyfus's writers. Her writers thought she could land some body blows on Donald Trump, with a big smile on her face, because as a comedian and someone outside the political realm, there were things she could say that wouldn't wear as well on a politician. So you know how I always tell you that these Hollywood actors and these celebrities have political agendas? Of course they do. They definitely do. And she's a comedian, but she's also a very liberal person, and she wanted to use her time there to use jokes as weapons, because jokes can be sometimes the most effective weapons, as Mark Twain has taught us, right? The political speechwriters were a little annoyed that she insisted on having her Veep writers draft her script. So Cutter read the jokes. She was not amused. One of them in particular was totally out of bounds. Julia Louis-Dreyfus planned to say that Joe Biden understood hard work and struggle. Well, the only time Donald Trump has struggled is walking down a ramp and trying to drink a glass of water. This was from it was like a rally over the summer, and there was a scene of Trump needing to hold a railing or something like this. Her writers had been told it didn't fit in the spot they wanted to use, so they had slotted it at another point in the script for the Democratic National Convention. Mandel called Cutter. When Cutter, Biden's person, picked up the cell phone, she demanded to know why the joke had been reinserted in a new place. So the writer said, "You told us it didn't work in the other spot." She said, "Well, you can't do it anywhere." The writer, Mandel, very accomplished Hollywood writer, very accomplished joke writer, said, "Just tell us that." And a-holes, he thought in his mind, "What's your problem with the joke?" Stephanie Cutter screamed into the phone at this point, "We're not opening the dementia thing," meaning that ridiculing Trump's faculties could remind viewers that Trump portrayed Biden as senile. Now, the writer tried to explain their perspective here. He said, you not opening the dementia thing is not going to prevent the Republicans from doing it till the end of time. If anything, preempting the GOP line of attack before the Republican convention the following week would be helpful to Biden, he said. They were shouting past each other, Jonathan Allen writes. That wasn't the only joke Cutter wanted to cut. Mandel could have backed off because the stakes of the election were so high, or simply because there wasn't much time before the script had to be set. Instead, he surrendered to the arch nemesis of all comedy writers, maturity. The younger version of him would have kept fighting for the joke with a studio executive. The seasoned veteran accepted the power dynamics. I'm not going to win this, he thought. Just tell me what you want, he said. Just dictate it. So the substitute joke for the Democratic National Convention that night, which Julia Louis-Dreyfus would deliver, was going to be this. Donald Trump thinks self-made means inheriting only $500 million from your dad. Cutter didn't care if it was funny. It was her job to make sure that nothing distracted from the blandness of the convention. In that way, Biden's close to the convention resembled his broader campaign goal. Don't F it up. One half of his low bar for success had been set by Trump, who told the public that Biden was an enabler of socialism and crime but couldn't speak English in complete sentences. The other half came from an anti-Trump coalition that would forgive almost any Biden misstep. It was nearly impossible to fail, particularly with a scripted speech drafted in part by John Meacham, one of the country's most gifted writers. John Meacham, of course, is a presidential historian who always goes on TV in the old days, would bash Trump all the time. And, you know, many politicians would be tempted by the moment to try to expand their capabilities, not Biden, whose campaign mantra might have been the one on the wall in the tortoise's locker room, slow and steady wins the race. His message was standard Democratic fare, hope over fear, along with lines specialized to highlight the character, competence, and compassion he hoped to contrast with Trump's. Now, this it comes from a book called Lucky, How Biden Barely Won the Presidency. All right, this is the name of the book. It just came out. And it is the hottest political book in the country right now, as you can imagine, right? Another thing that I got out of the book was that literally they said in the book, Biden won the White House with the, quote, put your dumb uncle in the basement strategy. Kate Sheehy of the New York Post writing this. President Biden won the White House because the coronavirus let him stay hidden in the basement, protecting his campaign from its biggest liability, the candidate himself. The Biden camp ran. By the way, before I really should back up here a second. I apologize if I'm not, you know, sometimes because I'm so into politics, I just assume everybody knows this. But this book was not written by people that hate Joe Biden. You know, this book was not written by people that are conservatives. This is by Jonathan Allen and Amy Parnas. These are people on the Biden side of the aisle. This is it's very much like Mark Halperin writing a book, or except, you know, minus the, you know, office dry humping allegations. But this book is by people who are on the left. This isn't like a conservative takedown here. These are established, well-respected D.C. insider writers who write for Politico and everything else. Jonathan Allen is a senior political analyst with NBC News Digital, a winner of the Dirksen and Hume Awards for reporting. He was previously the White House bureau chief for Politico and the Washington bureau chief for Bloomberg News. Amy Parnas is a senior correspondent for The Hill newspaper in Washington, where she covers the Biden White House and national politics. She was previously a staff writer at Politico, where she covered the Obama White House. In other words, my point is that these are not people out to get Biden. You know, this book was not written by Steve Bannon here. Okay, so back to the story. Biden won the White House with a put your dumb uncle in the basement strategy, according to this new book. Let him stay hidden in the basement, protecting the campaign from its biggest liability, the candidate himself. The Biden camp ran partly on the strategy of you put your dumb uncle in the basement, referring to the Democratic candidate, according to the book. Even former President Obama initially refused to support the 78-year-old ex-vice president and friend, worried he could become a, ready? Quote, tragicomic caricature of an aging politician having his last hurrah, if not protected from himself, the book says. The work's authors, Jonathan Allen of NBC News and Amy Parnas of The Hill, wrote that time and again, the stars aligned for Biden, a previous two-time loser who succeeded on his third try despite himself. And no one was more caught off guard than the Trump camp. They say that in May, Trump watched Biden give a CNN interview and afterward asked top aide Kellyanne Conway, "What do you think?" Conway replied, "I think if we lose to him, we are pathetic," the book says. Trump laughed, according to the authors. "Until the COVID thing came, we were winning 400 electoral votes," a source familiar with Trump's internal numbers around February 2020 claimed to the authors. Then, of course, the COVID thing came and changed everything. Obviously, mail-in balloting, everything. The emphasis was on nothing but COVID at the time. Trump was blamed for everything with COVID. Biden was able to stay in the basement, right? He was able to stay in the basement. It's a big deal then right there. Even one of Biden's top advisors, Anita Dunn, allegedly told an associate at one point, COVID was the best thing that happened to him. In mid-March 2020, Biden's team converted the basement of his home in Wilmington into a makeshift studio from which he could safely issue statements. They used coronavirus as an excuse to keep him in the basement, and it was smart, a Trump advisor told the authors. Biden was able to hide his biggest weakness, himself, and he did it with an excuse that sounded responsible. Biden's broadcast the night of March 17th, the night of the primaries, was just bizarre, the book says. There was a hostage video quality to the broadcast. It was cloudy and dark. As he spoke, there was an ever so slight time delay, putting Biden's words out of sync with the movements of his mouth. This was the guy who would send Donald Trump to Mar-a-Lago for good, they thought. One Biden aide told the authors, "I cringed the entire time. He looked like he didn't know what he was doing." Meanwhile, Obama seemed to be enamored with former Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke as a presidential contender, although he eventually put his clout behind his former vice president, who he once likened to a brother. And I should mention, although the article does not, once gave each other friendship bracelets. We do remember the friendship bracelets. It was a key moment.
Yes.
In presidential history, was it not?
Yes. The material is like little threads weaved. It's a weave. With their names on it.
Besties. By the fall, Trump had become his own invisible enemy, the book says. But less than a month ago until the election, Trump had just come off a debate performance in which he managed to make the challenger look more presidential. He was low on cash. He was discouraging Republicans from voting by mail. He had contracted a disease that had killed more than 200,000 of his fellow Americans. And he was ignoring advice to show just an ounce of humanity, the authors write. He couldn't see he was hurting himself. Within a month, Biden would have won the presidency. A bland message and a blank agenda. Now, I know what you're thinking in your mind right now. You're thinking to yourself, and let's not forget all the election improprieties and the shenanigans. Look, coronavirus was the perfect excuse for them to keep Biden in the basement, get people to vote by mail, early balloting, have ballot harvesting, all of those things, which and the Supreme Court of the United States is now in the process of tackling whether or not it's okay for people who are not election officials to turn in ballots for other people, which I think is a joke, whether states can just arbitrarily change election law despite what the legislature has passed. The Supreme Court's going to rule on all this. But coronavirus was the perfect way to keep Biden away from doing anything that could have hurt his candidacy. You could keep him in the basement, script him, have him just read things. And the Trump campaign there was nothing they could do about it because they kept saying Biden's hiding in the basement, hide in Biden. But Biden's campaign would turn around and go, yeah, because we're being responsible. Because COVID, we're being responsible. Biden won the White House with a put your dumb uncle in the basement strategy. And do not bring up the dementia thing, even as a joke, even mocking the other candidate. That's how worried they were about it. It was also funny, too, is this time a year ago when we were all is right before the world ends. You know what I mean? It's we're all life. We're hearing about coronavirus. The reports are in the news and that sort of thing. It was a year ago yesterday that Pete Buttigieg dropped out of the race. And then the flurry would begin of candidates dropping out of the race to all back Joe Biden. You know what I think happened? I think what happened is that when COVID hit, they had an excuse now that they could hide Joe Biden in the basement. They could do it legitimately. And so the idea was get everybody out of the race, because if we let Bernie win the nomination, Bernie will lose. And Bernie might win, but then Bernie will destroy all of us. In other words, the Democrat power brokers are worried about Bernie for two fronts. Number one, he could win the election, in which case then all the power brokers of the Democrat Party would be done. Or B, he'd get the nomination to lose to Donald Trump. So what they thought, this is my theory, this is my thinking here. I think what they thought was once the virus hit and they had an excuse now to hide Biden and keep him in the basement, keep the dumb uncle in the basement, as the book says, script him. Now they had a way to stop Bernie Sanders for good. Everybody drops out. They coalesce around Joe Biden. They're able to block Bernie by keeping America's mother-in-law in the race. And Biden becomes the president, even though he's not really going to be the president, because he can't be the president. But they'll have plenty of people there to pull the strings for him, including, of course, his running mate, who was right there with him yesterday as he walks out of the room. Bill, if you could play that cut again for me, please. Cut number four, Joe
did
Biden
you
yesterday.
Did you see anything about the border today?
Yes, I did.
What did you learn?
A lot.
Is there a crisis at the border?
We'll be able to handle it, God willing, he says at the end as he walks out of the room right there. So that's what these political writers have assembled. 855-839-1210 is the number, 855-839-1210. You know what I love? I love delicious, juicy steaks. I really do. And the Omaha Steak Cooking Show with me and the CEO is now up on Facebook.com/Zioli Show and Facebook.com/1210WPHD. So the fifth generation CEO, because it's been a family business the entire time. You know, a lot of these big food companies have sold out to China. I don't know if you know that or not, but a lot of them have. Not Omaha Steaks. Fifth generation family business, still in Omaha, Nebraska, still serving the finest cuts of American meat that you can possibly find anywhere. And you know what the secret is? The aging process. You go out to a grocery store, for example, the steaks you get there, they're not aged. They're not packaged right. The freshness, the juices, all of it, they're not marbled correctly. But Omaha Steaks prides themselves on getting the most perfectly tender, perfectly aged steaks you can possibly find. Right now, you got to do this. You go to omahasteaks.com. Put in my name, Zioli. So you see a search bar at the top. Put in my name, Z-E-O-L-I. You're going to get the Butcher's Best Sellers Grill Pack, which includes four of their iconic and fork-tender Butcher's Cut Filet Mignons, four ultra-juicy burgers, four savory pork chops, desserts, side dishes, seasoning, so much more. You're about to start entertaining again, aren't you? Omaha Steaks is the perfect way to entertain people and cook for a big group. And you can grill those steaks up. You can sous vide them. You can put them on the cast iron skillet. Is a great way to make steaks. However way you want to cook them, just go to omahasteaks.com. Put in my name, Zioli, in the search bar. You're going to get a special price on the Butcher's Best Sellers package, plus four more chicken breasts and four more of those delicious burgers for free. No one comes close to matching the flavor, the tenderness, and value of Omaha Steaks. Go to Facebook, watch the cooking video, with me and the CEO of Omaha Steaks together, talking food, talking wine, and check it out, all right? If you do that for me, omahasteaks.com, keyword Zioli. Get the Butcher's Best Sellers Pack today. Don't forget the four free chicken breasts and the four free burgers.
You're in the middle of 60 minutes of nonstop talk. The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, 855-839-1210 is our number today. Of course, every day is the way. Oh, you know what? I do have it. I do have it. I didn't know that. Is this a new USO sponsor?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. We have our USO Radiothon coming up March 19th.
Yes.
We're all going to be at Chickies and Pete's again. It'll be our big first time back together in person.
No.
How great.
South Philadelphia. Hang on, Bill. Chickies and Pete's, right?
Please.
So nice.
Please don't say that. It is going to be a wonderful event that we're going to raise a lot of money for. We're going to broadcast it on
Chickies and Pete's
Facebook Live.
Yeah. Cannot wait to be back in person. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Dreaming of those crab fries, Dawn. It's been a year.
Yes.
Our one-year reunion anniversary at Chickies and Pete's.
Would have been nice.
Makes me
last
sad.
Big event of the weekend.
Before the world ended.
Yeah.
So let's go back in time, shall we? Let's do this. I'm curious. This is interesting to me. So back in March 3rd of 2020, Dawn was reporting on coronavirus. And I remember we were obviously in studio.
Yes.
And she's reporting on this virus from China. I was really not interested, to be honest with you. I wasn't. I really wasn't. I was kind of like, come on with this stupid virus. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, we were planning for two big events, USO Radiothon March 5th. Mark Levin, March 6th. You remember,
yes.
Greg?
Yes, it was planning two big events in my first year as the, you know,
corporate shill.
Yes, it was very stressful. But yeah, we pulled both of them off. They were huge successes, and then
boom.
Well, you go on. I don't want to spoil your ending.
I'm just saying here. So we're at Chickies and Pete's. Everybody's there. I'm hugging people. I'm kissing people. I'm shaking hands.
I don't know if you were kissing people. Or were you kissing people?
I was. Yes.
Okay. Right.
Of course, some of the Zioli Army calendar girls were there. So of course I was kissing them. I'm a cheek. But my point is, I don't think anybody got sick from that event, did they? And we know
no.
COVID was here by. We know that COVID was
yes.
here.
Oh,
we
yeah.
just we didn't know it was COVID.
Yep.
It was here. They had the first documented cases of COVID this week in 2020. I think as of today, a year ago, there were, I think, six in the United States of America.
Yes.
Yeah.
Six. But we know it was here. We know it was here for months. We know that now. We know that now we're finding out it was here as early as possibly November.
Right.
So that means then that if this asymptomatic spread thing is legit, which I have my doubts, and as does a doctor from the World Health Organization, that video you might have seen out there, she's not a kook. She's, you know, part of the World Health Organization team. Why wasn't that a super spreader event at Chickies and Pete's that day? Don't answer that. Then the next day we have the Mark Levin event. 1,000 people. Was that the number, 1,000? 600? How many people were there?
I think it was at least 1,000. I think
at least 1,000 people, maybe more, right?
1,300, yeah.
Now, a couple things about my buddy Mark Levin. He's a bit of a germaphobe.
Oh, yes.
Which is fine. I mean, I am too. He does not like shaking hands when there's not a pandemic. And he was, if you remember on that stage, because Mark has had this issue where he's had this bad cough. That's why he had to get surgery recently and why I filled in for him. So he was coughing a lot that day. And you remember at one point he joked, he goes, it's just COVID. And then everybody laughed. You remember that?
Yep.
The whole place. Then we had about 1,200 people packed in a theater. Why was that not a super spreader event? Don't answer that. We go backstage. We do the VIP greeting thing, right? Mark wouldn't shake hands. We did fist bumps. Well, he mocked me for doing the chicken thing that I did with my arm. But we did like everybody did fist bumps. And I had at the time, do you remember, Greg, I had a little bottle of hand sanitizer?
Yes, yes.
So Greg and Rob Kalustian, Walter, they're grabbing my Purell and everybody's like sanitizing their hands. You remember that?
Yes.
But we're all in this small room. Nobody's wearing masks. Everybody's together. We now know it doesn't really spread from shaking hands, although I still don't like shaking hands, and I'll continue to use the pandemic as my excuse not to. But we know it spreads from breathing. Why wasn't that a super spreader event? Don't answer that. I'm just pointing out where the world was a week ago, this week last year. We were in the midst of this. We believed at the time there were only six people that had it. We know now that's BS. That we know that now. We just had a lot of people who thought it was the flu.
Yep.
And we had people who died from it, and their deaths were counted as flu deaths because that's what we did at the time. Do you remember, Dawn, when you reported and I said to you, don't. You said we have not had one person die from it yet.
Yes.
And I said, don't say that.
I remember that.
And the next day someone died.
Yes.
You remember that? But that was not the first person who died of COVID in the United States of America. That's the first recorded death of someone dying of COVID in the United States of America. But think of how different this week was 1 year ago, right? Think of how different it was. There is no way. If could you imagine being in person for the USO Radiothon right now? No, right?
No.
Could you imagine having 1,200 people come see the great one, Mark Levin,
no.
and me on stage? And No. But the virus was here a year ago. We just didn't know it a year ago.
Exactly.
I'm amazed. You know, and then I remember, too, a conversation I had with Dave Skopanich in his office the week after. So next week, a year ago, we were hanging out in his office, and he looked around and he goes, "How long is this going to last?" Because everybody's on the sales floor, you know. Mm-hmm. And we're all talking. We're all together. We were in his room, door shut, right? Little tiny room in his office with his glass door shut. How long is this going to last? Everybody was still going to work. Everybody was still together. Everybody was still doing these things. Again, it's very interesting to me how we know the virus was here, and yet the virus doesn't really start spreading until March. I'm not doing conspiracy stuff here. I'm just saying, I think that, I think back now. Imagine if Fauci had said in March, instead of saying don't wear masks, Fauci had said wear masks back in March. Remember he said don't? Remember?
He did.
You don't need to. Don't wear them. It's not good. It doesn't do anything. Remember he said that?
He did. Because he knew there would be a mask shortage.
Well, that's his excuse, that there'd be a mask shortage, right?
Well, that's what doctors say. But why not just come out and say, hey, everybody, here's how you make a mask. Mm-hmm. You make it out of a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So,
right? You could have done that.
Here's how you do
that.
It.
He poo-pooed homemade masks as well.
He did.
Jay Duffy on Twitter. I shook Greg Stocker's hand at Chickies and Pete's last year. Probably the last person to do that ever.
She is 100% correct.
I love that.
Yes. She was one of our USO volunteers, I believe.
Amadeo Petrangelo says, I remember last year Greg actually shook my hand at the USO event. Oh, people remember that handshake. The handshake heard around the world.
I love it.
It's very rare to get a handshake from me, I guess. So I love people. I like people. I just don't want to touch them.
You don't like people. Suck.
No, I don't know.
You really don't like people. Be honest. I hugged everybody that day. Kisses, hugs. I mean, that's who I am. I'm a hugger. I must have hugged 500 people at that USO event that day.
Maybe you
Chickies and Pete's.
You're naturally immune.
Well, that's another question I honestly have, which is that I was very sick in February, as was my wife. And there was no COVID test. We were told it was the flu. They didn't test us for the flu. We had the flu shot at the time. So was I immune in March?
Or were you like Matt Damon in Contagion?
Or was I like Matt Damon in Contagion? I don't know. These are all great questions. I mean, what's in it? We're now in that window before the world ended. And I love looking back on this stuff and thinking about that. So
Montgomery County was the first county in our area to shut down. I think it was like March 13th. It was whatever that weekend was.
It was
like the Friday, and then it shut down the next day. Montgomery County was the first because of what was happening in that hospital there in King of Prussia with a doctor who was infected.
Yeah, that's right.
That was a big super spreader event.
Yes. It was actually a CHOP doctor who works out of that huge KOP branch.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
The Big Ragu, our buddy Tony, he says, pre-coma memories. Just before this picture, you offered the Minitti and Morton kids some of your crab fries. They took some out of the basket, and before I could stop them, they tried to give them back to you. Your reaction was priceless. I remember that. I had Chickies and Pete's crab fries up on the stage.
Yes.
I'm eating them, shoving them in my mouth, shaking hands, shoving them in my mouth, trying my best to Purell my hands, but it doesn't really work at those things. And I offered them to the kids. The kids reached in, grabbed my crab fries, ate some, and then handed the thing back to me. And I looked at them like, what are you, nuts? We got a pandemic coming here. You want me to eat your fries? That was a hugging, taking pictures of people close together and everything like this. COVID was here in March. We know that now. Isn't that something? Sorry, Dawn, go ahead.
No, it is, but I think it just shows you that all the stuff you could hear your grandmother saying or your mom saying, like, wash your hands, be careful, baby, like all that stuff. Because I think a lot of it is that we all, you get in the car and you use the handy wipe immediately after an event. Everybody washes their hands. Everybody takes their shoes off at the door. I mean,
nope.
Yes, we do. And it's our story, and we're sticking with it. But no, I think that we have those protocols in place, and I think those things matter, that we can handle it. I'm just saying.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And be careful, baby, is a good
strategy. Be careful, baby,
strategy
like Mama Zioli says.
Oh, be careful, baby.
Thank you, Mama Zioli. Then they said that we needed to flatten the curve because hospitals were about to get overwhelmed. We had to make sure hospitals wouldn't get overwhelmed. Robbie Sove will be here at 8:30. His tweet yesterday in response to Texas Governor Greg Abbott lifting the mask mandate order and 100% opening. Robbie's point was, well, isn't that what we're supposed to do since the goal was to stop hospitals from being overwhelmed? And now they're not overwhelmed. So isn't that what we should be doing? I'll talk to Robbie about that. But in Texas now, Governor Abbott has lifted the mask mandate. You are still free to wear one, by the way. Businesses are still free to impose mask mandates if they choose to. And if things get bad, then towns and counties can impose their own mask mandates. The governor has said you don't have to wear one in public, but you are still able to wear one if you choose to. And yet it's causing a lot of outrage. It should not, because it's very reasonable, in my opinion. 855-839-1210 is the number, 855-839-1210. Well, the USO is back on virtually this year on the 19th of March. And known as Mad Marty, the world's worst printer salesman, Marty gives away more free laser printers to businesses that he sells. Everyone is trying to save money, so why would you ever buy a laser printer for your business? Marty gives away free laser printers to businesses, including Xerox brand printers, no gimmick, no catch, no contract. They are interested in long-term relationships with your business, and they're willing to make this investment up front to begin that relationship. It's a nationwide offering. If you don't need a printer now, no problem. They can save you 20 to 30% off the big box stores on your toner cartridge purchases. They are a veteran, family-owned business. Husband and wife team, longtime members of our show here, and supporters of Talk Radio 1210 and our USO Radiothon. Friends, do not let friends buy office laser printers. With COVID and the amount of people now working from home, printer inventory is rapidly dwindling. Now is the time to act. Thea and Marty have been loyal members of this show for years. Why is Mad Marty the world's worst printer salesman? Because he doesn't sell printers, he gives them away. Why would anyone do that? Because Cartridge World in places, Cartridge World of Cherry Hill is making this investment to establish long-term relationships with his business partners. Strong USO supporters, veteran-owned business, Mad Marty, the world's worst printer salesman, and Cartridge World of Cherry Hill, together to save you money and help out our USO Radiothon.
You're listening to 60 Minutes of Nonstop Talk. The Rich Cioli Show. On Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. WPHT-HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. A radio.com station.
A radio.com station. All right, Dawn, good morning. What's up? What's cooking
you
today?
To mock, why?
I didn't mock him. I didn't mock him.
Man.
What? How's that just, mocking him?
Just because you're, you don't need to mock the imaging.
I didn't mock it.
The people that don't know, imaging was the little thing we just played. The little idea.
It's flattery.
Yeah. Did you change
respect.
Something, too? I like
we
it.
Did
change?
We did. We had to.
It goes, the revolution. Something changed. What changed?
Well, I don't want to. We had to take something out.
Yeah. Oh, you did? Copyright loss?
Mm.
Nice.
No, it's a sponsor that's no longer a sponsor anymore.
Oh, gotcha. And that sign behind Dawn probably has to go then, too, right?
Yes, it does. Yeah, it does. Thank God nobody can see this right now, but yes, it does.
Bill, you're going to make a snarky comment that you're in studio? No one cares, by the way.
No one cares. Why?
Because I'm the host. I'm the host anywhere I go. I could do the show from Australia. I'm still the host of the show. You don't become the host being in studio. You're the host because you're the host. That's why no one cares that you're there. No one cares. You and Darth Eskin are the only two people in America that give a damn.
I don't know why it equates. Oh, I never said I was the host.
But you think that's you make your little snarky comments about being in studio.
That's why
you're
wearing the Star Wars
like you had to overcome, you know, the Germans shooting you on the beach and Saving Private Ryan. Big freaking deal.
I don't rest until I bring them home.
Levin does his show from his bunker. Limbaugh was never in studio, God rest his soul. He had his own studio in his house. In the year 2021, why do you get a freaking Purple Heart for driving to Philadelphia and walking in a building? You act like what you had to overcome to get there.
Oh, my Lord.
Well, you would not be on the air right now if I was not here.
Ooh.
Careful.
Ooh.
Careful. people. They'll find a way. I'm just saying. I would be very careful making that statement.
We can only go so
This company's
far
looking to find ways to do that, so don't give them any ideas, Bill.
I've said way too much.
You've said way too much. So zip it.
I'm going to go down right
Good
now.
Morning.
Can we?
Hi,
can
Dawn.
We
good morning.
Hi,
can
this
we
is,
reset
I'm sorry,
the last
yes, Greg. What would you like to do?
Can we reset the last 3 minutes of the show and just pretend that...
Just pretend.
Where the hell are we?
Thank
good
you.
Stuff.
See, well done, that was Bill. Good.
He's earning his paycheck today.
He redeemed
well
himself.
Done. It's like it takes you 2 hours to get warmed up, and then it you're, does. You're good to go. It's
2 hours, yeah.
All right, Dawn, go ahead, please.
Yes, the Alicia Show News Live. Good morning. Sponsored by Banfield on News Nation. We are at 32 degrees, a beautiful forecast for today coming up. There's this investigation looming into how the Wolf administration, Governor Tom Wolf, Pennsylvania, handled COVID-19 cases in the nursing and personal care homes that account for more than half of Pennsylvania's COVID-19 death toll. So we're learning that Pennsylvania lawmakers say they are planning a formal request to move forward. This is the Oversight Committee investigation, and they'll move forward when the House chamber reconvenes. That's March 15th, so 12 days away from that. Wolf's office saying that his administration simply followed the guidance of federal officials. So we will see. We'll continue to follow that one. There's a new controversy surrounding the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, so I'll get to that one in a moment. But first, just within the last eight minutes, the doors open to the public for the first time. Many call this a game-changing site opening right now in Philadelphia. Our uniformed military on site, and they were setting up all morning for the official public opening of FEMA's COVID-19 vaccination site at the Convention Center right now. So 1A or 1B phases of Philadelphians can get this vaccine in the rollout plan. And this site is open 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., so 12 hours a day, 7 days a week for at least 8 weeks. And this is supported by those uniformed military officers, so we thank them for their service. The U.S. Army coordinating and helping FEMA with the site. They hope to vaccinate 6,000 people per day, and that's why they're saying this is an absolute game changer. So Pennsylvania teachers are going to get the newly approved one-shot Johnson & Johnson vaccine. There's a new plan. It's going to be released today. So this was bipartisan legislation, a task force that agreed to this in Pennsylvania. So we'll learn more about that one. And we have a historic private enterprise partnership. It's refreshing with news of Merck agreeing to help mass produce the J&J's one-shot COVID-19 vaccine. The companies are normally fierce competitors, as you know, both headquartered in New Jersey, and this will dramatically boost vaccine production. So that's a pretty cool story that they're working together. And so the latest we got from J&J, they are reportedly on track now to deliver 100 million doses by the end of June. And then a top company exec, you may recall, told Congress last week their goal of manufacturing 1 billion doses worldwide by year's end. So that's pretty amazing. Governor Phil Murphy says New Jersey should expect all schools to reopen next fall as COVID-19 vaccines become available. And that continues to expand with teachers and perhaps even children, he said, getting the opportunity to be immunized. So we do have a warning. This was interesting to women getting their COVID-19 vaccines. You're told to postpone an important yearly medical screening. Why? Doctors and the Society of Breast Imaging, they're alerting women after this new study shows getting the COVID-19 vaccine too close to your mammogram could result in a false diagnosis. So the vaccine is, you know, you get those swollen lymph nodes sometimes when you get a vaccine, and that could lead to a false read and biopsies and that sort of thing. So they're saying put it off at least 4 weeks after your second dose.
Okay. Well, that's good information. So that news you can use.
News you can use. And I thought this controversy was interesting surrounding the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops speaking out, they're raising ethical concerns and questions about the use of the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine. So they're saying the issue here is the, quote, moral permissibility of using vaccines developed, tested, and or produced with the help of abortion-derived cell lines. Because the J&J, remember, is a more traditional vaccine. So they're recommending the other ones. So I thought that was interesting in the middle of a pandemic, these bishops coming out during Lent, telling Catholics, don't get the J&J.
So interesting. So you normally can't request a vaccine, but I wonder then if you can for religious reasons to say I'm prohibited from having the Johnson & Johnson. If that's true, I don't know if that's true or not, but if that is true, then I'm prohibited from having that because of my faith, so I need to have the other one.
See, it raises such an interesting
And then
question.
if they're able to accommodate that, I wonder.
Yes.
Interesting. I want the one that turns me into a zombie, rewrites my DNA one. Just kidding.
Just get it. That's what all the doctors are just saying. Whatever one that's offered, just get it. So, but we have, there's always a controversy. But the thing that I think fans just are cheering about, the Wells Fargo coming out saying, fans, you're going to be welcome back to games beginning this Sunday, March 7th. So with all of the loosening of the restrictions, this is great news. Flyers and Sixers announcing that we have new protocols in place.
Wonderful news. It's great news. It really is. Bill, did you talk about that in your little podcast?
The idea of it. It's a weekly, so we didn't have a new episode since they announced that.
Oh, man. Oh. We're all waiting for the next one.
Yeah. So, high
bated breath. When does it drop?
Probably next Monday morning. Yeah. Yeah.
What am I waiting for more? The last episode of WandaVision or Bill's podcast?
That's not a fair comparison. That's obviously Orange Back Check. No.
Good. You see, you got the name in. Smart man. That's good. Excellent. All right.
So
sorry, Dawn.
My last little ditty here is, since Yoli said it doesn't matter where, he's always the host. No matter where Yoli
wherever I am,
from.
No matter where I go, I'm always the host.
I have the new Yoli headquarters.
Go ahead.
Okay, it's in Florida.
Yes.
It just hit the market. I don't know if Bridget Zioli is licensed now for real estate in Florida, but she should be, in this area and Florida. It just
she
hit the market.
She needs to be, you're right.
$49 million. It was previously owned by former President Donald Trump's sister, Marianne Trump Barry. She sold it to Don Jr. and Eric Trump in 2018. 8-bedroom home and free with the home purchase, Trump's Mar-a-Lago Resort membership. You get a free membership because it's right across the street. So it's a Palm Beach mansion.
But I already have a free membership.
Oh,
sorry.
True. Okay.
What's in my throat there? Sorry.
Your cohorts on the show could get a.
Yes.
Anyway, it's 10,500 square feet, gorgeous mansion in Palm Beach. Just went on the market.
Just went on the market.
So I thought perfect for the Zioli broadcasting.
Our new bunker.
Yeah, the new South Bunker.
The new South Bunker. I love it. Love it.
Anyway, it's just
all
gorgeous.
The finest people are down there in Palm Beach in that area. Fine people.
We can dream.
People.
So the NBC 10 First Alert forecast, it's not a Palm Beach forecast, all right? But we are warming up to 56 degrees. As you can see, bright, beautiful sunshine today. A lot of sunshine in the forecast through the weekend, but unfortunately, we cool way down overnight tonight into tomorrow. So we've got 44 degrees tomorrow, 41 degrees for your Friday, low 40s for the weekend. But here's the good news. By next Tuesday, we're in the 60s for your forecast. We are sponsored by Banfield on News Nation. You want to see what happens when they stop shouting and there's a normal conversation? Join journalist Ashley Banfield on her new interview show, Banfield, weeknights, 10 o'clock on News Nation. Check out your local listings. That's the Yoli Show News Live.
Thank you, Dawn. Appreciate it very, very much. McCausland Lock Service, our sponsor of this hour of Nonstop Talk. Great people. Wonderful sponsors of our USO Radiothon last year and again this year. They handle it all for you. Security cameras, locks, residential, business, commercial, all of it. And they specialize, of course, in those key fobs. That's right. You ever lose one of those pesky little things? Or it's broken, it needs to be repaired. McCausland Lock Service, they are the experts you need to repair, replace, reprogram original factory remotes, transponder keys, chip keys, and more. And in addition to major makes, they can also help with various BMW, Mercedes, Volkswagen, Audi vehicles. They'll help you while you wait. And the best part is they charge up to 50% below what you'd pay at a dealer. They're a full-service locksmith, and they're available for whatever you need. And they're dedicated to delivering superior customer service. So call McCausland Lock Service today at 610-430-1500. Tom and Chrissy would love to take great care of you. They're terrific. And again, business or residential, throughout our area, they're there to help. And please remember, small business, family business for 100 years. and proud supporters of our USO Radiothon. 610-430-1500. 610-430-1500. McCausland Lock Service, conveniently located on Route 420 in Prospect Park, PA. McCausland Lock Service.
You're in the middle of 60 minutes of non-stop talk. This is the Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
You know, one of the things about the world we're living in right now is everything is incredibly political. H.R. 1 is this bill they're going to vote on today. They call it a voting rights bill. It also gives statehood to D.C. January 6th was the insurrection, riot, protest, whatever term you want to use, of what happened at the Capitol. I denounced it. I think every conservative host in America has denounced it. Yesterday on Capitol Hill, Christopher Wray, the FBI director, was there. They were discussing the idea that white supremacists are everywhere, you know, ready to attack again. They're putting out this false idea that tomorrow, March 4th, QAnon believes Donald Trump will really become president tomorrow, and they're worried about another insurrection, so they got to keep the fencing up, the troops in D.C. Now, what happened on January 6th was awful. Hundreds of people have been arrested. But you have to remember something, too. 74 million voters of Trump did not go to the Capitol that day and storm the Capitol. And thousands of people did go to the Capitol and didn't cause any violence or destruction. Many of them walked in. They were allowed in. They were ushered in. Capitol Police ushered them in. It's the people's house. It's a public building. They, in my opinion, did nothing wrong. There are people, though, that seriously broke the law and need to go to prison for what they did. You have to separate those groups, obviously. There are extremists in both sides of the aisle, by the way. You've got lunatics in Portland, Antifa. You've got these lunatics in Capitol Hill that day. There are extremists on both sides of the aisle. Why was it yesterday Christopher Wray, the FBI director, is badgered about this point, badgered over and over again, white supremacists, white supremacists, white supremacists? So I went on Newsmax TV yesterday, and they had a panel, and I was on the panel. They asked me what my thought of why they keep bringing up white supremacists, why he keeps getting asked the question about this. In fact, let me play you Christopher Wray, the FBI director, from yesterday's hearing. This is cut number 10, Bill.
I was appalled, like you, at the violence and destruction that we saw that day. I was appalled that you, our country's elected leaders, were victimized right here in these very halls. That attack, that siege, was criminal behavior, plain and simple, and it's behavior that we, the FBI, view as domestic terrorism. It's got no place in our democracy, and tolerating it would make a mockery of our nation's rule of law. The rule of law, of course, is our country's bedrock, and it's our guiding principle at the FBI. That's why the FBI has been working day and night across the country to track down those responsible for the events of January 6th, and to hold them accountable. We're chasing down leads, we're reviewing evidence, combing through digital media to identify, investigate, and arrest anyone who broke the law that day. And our greatest partner in this investigation has been the American people themselves.
All right, so you get the point there, and thank you for that. This is what I said yesterday on Newsmax, because this is what egotistical radio hosts have to do. They have to play their own clips of themselves on TV. I learned this lesson many years ago listening to a previous morning show host. I won't name any names. And I like doing it, so I'm going to do it myself now. So cut three.
Yeah, Sean, and I think you have to look at what the ultimate political objective here is, and that is to get statehood for Washington, D.C. And the mayor of D.C. has made it very clear she can't send in the National Guard because she's not a governor. The Democrats have been pushing for statehood for years. If you keep going with this narrative that at any moment now, white supremacists and extremists can rush the Capitol building and have a coup, you got to keep the fence up. You got to keep the National Guard there. And you ultimately have to give the mayor of D.C. the same powers that a governor has so that she can quickly call up the National Guard, as if you call 911 and the National Guard responds. It's silly. But this is the goal here, and they want to use the events of January 6th to achieve that. Remember, never let a good political crisis go to waste, and they're not going to let it go to waste. Their goal is statehood for D.C. as a national security imperative, so that just like the bordering Virginia and Maryland governors, the governor of the newly created state of Washington, D.C. can just quickly call in the National Guard to fight off those ugly white supremacists. It is a real political agenda that they have here, Sean. It's very obvious to watch.
After the insurrection at the Capitol took place, the mayor of D.C. on January 15th discussed the National Guard remaining in D.C. This is what she said. Cut five.
We do not expect to have visiting National Guard throughout the city for weeks to come. No, we don't expect that. But I do think that we have to replace that sense of security in other ways. So we certainly, from the district's perspective, will be thinking about that. We're actually also thinking about how our partnership with the federal government has to change so that we can have that increased sense of security. I won't bore you with the kind of the details of how we're budgeted to support our special security because we're the nation's capital, but those issues have to be dealt with. We also have to be dealt with the complicating factor of not being a state in that the mayor of the District of Columbia does not command the D.C. National Guard. We know that that's a complicating factor. So there are many things that we as a city will have to reset in terms of our posture in policing and in all of our homeland agencies that support First Amendment demonstrations. What will that reset look like?
Also, I should mention, too, the mayor of D.C. turned down requests for the National Guard. She was asked if she wanted to request them. She told them no the day before the events on January 6th at the Capitol. Greg, give me what's going on with Cuomo? I see some Cuomo clips on my cut sheet today. What's going on today?
Would you like the lesser Cuomo? Because that's the cut I would like to start with, if that is okay with you.
Do it.
So he went on his TV show on Monday to explain why he's not talking about his brother. But I'm sure, Rich, you're dying to know what he said to the four people that listened to him on the SiriusXM POTUS channel for his daily 12 to 2 show. Let's get after it.
Let's get after it.
Yes. So he addressed this yesterday on his Let's Get After It SiriusXM show. And here is what he said about his brother. Cut two.
I can't cover my brother's situation because he's my brother. It does not have any connection to my decision to have him on before there were any real accountability questions during COVID when I strongly identified and felt a need for people to be able to connect with things that were familiar and that gave them a sense of hope. And I know I was right because I've never had people come out and say thank you the way you have for doing that. And I said at the time, I said on this show, I can't keep doing this. Eventually, there are going to be issues that have to be covered here that I can't cover because I'm not objective on him, and it'll stop. And it did stop well in advance of that. I get why the media didn't like the decision then. They just didn't say as much because it was so popular. And I get why they're saying it now, but the idea that you don't think I should have had him on and now therefore I should have him on, that is illogical. And I'm not going to do it, and CNN doesn't want me to do it, but they, of course, have to cover it. They have extensively. They will continue to. I can't say more than it, except for one thing. Do not confuse my not covering my brother with my not caring about the issues involved. You are wrong.
You are wrong. By the way, how is he still on CNN? How does he still have a show where he can't talk about the biggest story in America right now, which is his brother's scandal?
Yeah. I tuned in last night just to see for like 5 minutes, just to see like what he was covering. And it was all about the, Christopher Wray testifying. So like they're just finding other things. They're like, no, this is the big story.
Did he bring up what Cuomo said about the wedding from May 17th, 2020? I see that in here. Did that come up?
No, this was the, this is from,
and we got to speed it up here because we got Robbie coming up, but what is this from?
This is a really creepy clip. This is when Governor Cuomo in May was trying to show everybody that getting the COVID nasal swab test wasn't, harmful and you should do it. He makes a really creepy comment to the nurse that administers it. This is cut six from May of 2020.
I'm going to show you how fast and easy it is to take a test and demonstrate why there should be no reluctance. This is Dr. Elizabeth Dufort, who is in the appropriate PPE wear. Nice to see you, doctor. You make that gown look good.
Head up.
You make that gown look good. You could melt all this stuff. So, you remember that from My Blue Heaven with Steve Martin? You could melt all this stuff. You make this gown look good. Look at you. You want to play doctor with me after this is over? Play operation?
No. It's so
Hello,
bad.
Nurse. I know you're a doctor, but for the purposes of this game, you're going to be the nurse, if you know what I mean.
I got to say, I apologize because we've played many Cuomo clips over the years or over this last year. I did not hear this when it first came out, and I wish I would have because we would have been on this, you know, back in May. But
you make this gown look good. Look at you. Look at you, doctor. You're a doctor of hot is what you are. That's what you are right
so
there.
So creepy. So creepy.
So that did not get covered on the Lester Cuomo show last night. Huh? Did Jen Psaki mention it yesterday at the White House?
She did not. She was asked about Dr. Seuss and, I'm sorry. She was asked about Governor Cuomo and Vice President Harris's support for or ridicule of Brett Kavanaugh. Cut one.
Question about Governor Andrew Cuomo. Vice President Kamala Harris was one of the most vocal critics of Justice Brett Kavanaugh, of Senator Al Franken. When they faced similar allegations, she said repeatedly, "I believe them, the women." But she hasn't said anything about the three women who are accusing Governor Andrew Cuomo. And now this third accuser, Anna Roush, she actually worked for the Biden-Harris campaign. So at what point is the first female vice president going to say something about this?
Well, I know that's how the vice president continues to feel. And the benefit of doing a briefing every day is that I can certainly speak on behalf of the president and the vice president. And so let me reiterate that they both believe that every woman coming forward should be heard, should be treated with dignity and treated with respect. As you all know, the New York Attorney General will oversee.
She speaks on their behalf. Why are they not speaking? That's the question. Literally, the question was, why is the vice president of the United States, who said so many things about Brett Kavanaugh, why is she not speaking out? That's the question, not why speak on their behalf. Why can't they speak? Why can't the president and vice president speak? That's exactly the point. That is the question that she's making right there. Okay. All right. I speak on their behalf. I speak on their behalf. Robbie Sove is coming up from Reason.com. This will be a good way to lead into him. She was asked about why Dr. Seuss was left out, right, of the proclamation? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, she was. Cut nine.
Did you have another question?
A question about Dr. Seuss. Maybe the only day that you can bring up Dr. Seuss in the theater. It is National Read Across America Day. It's also Dr. Seuss's birthday. Mm-hmm. Both former presidents Obama and Trump mentioned Dr. Seuss in their Read Across America Day proclamations, but President Biden did not. Why not?
Well, first, the proclamation was written by the Department of Education, and you could certainly speak to them about more specifics about the drafting of it. But Read Across America Day, which, as you're right, has not existed forever, has only been around for a short period of time, elevates and celebrates a love of reading among our nation's youngest leaders. And the day is also a chance to celebrate diverse authors whose work and lived experience reflect the diversity of our country. And that's certainly what they attempted to do.
Blabble, 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 babble, babble, blah, blah, blah. That's what I got out of that. That's what I got. Any different? My God, there was like a word salad there, right?
Yeah, I don't know what she said. There's no, I have no idea what the reasoning is for it, but, you know.
Well, we'll talk about how Dr. Seuss has been canceled with Reason writer Robbie Sove straight ahead.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.